You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning. Welcome to Catholic Community of Faith and Relevant Radio 950 AM. I'm Father Greg Sackowitz, pastor of St. Mary Parish in Evanston. Time in Chicago is exactly 9 a.m. Our phone number, 312-255-8408. Co-host, Graziano Marcheschi, the Director of Ministerial Resource Development for the Archdiocese of Chicago. Graz, I will one day have your title memorized.
You know, I picked that really difficult title just to make life difficult for you.
I still have your old title memorized and can't get the new one down. How are you doing, Graz?
I'm good.
How's your week been?
I think that we should pronounce your name in the traditional Polish way today.
Sakowicz.
Sakowicz.
Yeah, we'll go the American Sackowitz.
Because we're going to be talking to one of the new bishop-elects, who is Father Wipik.
We have a tremendous
so if we're going to do it right for him, we got to do it right for you.
Lined up last
and
Wednesday
then, and
morning.
Then I can be Markevsky.
Yeah. Right. At least for today.
For today.
And the Rojas.
And Rojas. And Rojaski.
We have an excellent program lined up for you on Relevant Radio 950 Catholic Community of Faith. Last Wednesday morning, the announcement was made coming from Rome. Well, last Monday, but it was made public here. That's right, Monday in Chicago. Losing track of time, Graz, is we're happy to have with us in studio, live, Father Andrew Wipik and Father Alberto Rojas. Father Wipik is the present pastor of St. Francis Borgia, and Father Rojas, pastor at Good Shepherd in Chicago. But they are the new bishop-elects, auxiliary bishops for the Archdiocese of Chicago. Father Andrew and Father Alberto, welcome and congratulations.
Thank you.
Great to have you on the program today. You know, the Archdiocese was looking for and waiting for two newly elect auxiliaries because of Bishop Papraki and Bishop Sierra leaving the Archdiocese. And so this has been in the works a long time. For I have to ask both of you, as you sit here 4 days after the announcement made public, what is going through your mind right now? Father Andrew, what's going through your mind?
Thank you very much for inviting us, because this is a respite for me from all the phone calls and emails and interviews that I receive, and the people that come to the rectory, and people cry and they are happy and they are already asking who is the next pastor. So a lot of emotions. Many of them I still not understand. I just store it in my heart and in my memory. But I'm elated that the Lord will use me as a bishop, and I will be able to serve the Church of Chicago and Universal Church. Never expected it. But the Lord has, I suppose, a good sense of humor, and it's good for me.
and a sense of humility. Father Alberto, what's going through your mind right now?
Too much.
Too much.
It's been really overwhelming. These 4 days, every morning I wake up, I'm like, is this really happening? What is this all about? And, of course, I don't understand the whole thing yet. But, like, you know, Andrew is saying, it's every day of emails and phone calls and now cards and letters and from people we don't even know. But most of them with a beautiful, you know, sense of joy. And, of course, some of them say, I don't know if we should congratulate you or say my sympathies. I said both, because, you know, we have, of course, since priest, you know, ordained, we have decided to give our lives in service to Christ, to the people. So if this is going to be another way, you know, like a more, you know, totally or surrounded way to give the life to in service to Christ in His people, then this is it.
You know, as I sit here looking at your smiling faces, I'm reminded of a prayer from the Orthodox liturgy for the Feast of St. Nicholas. It goes something like, let us rejoice in the fair beauty of bishops. Something.
Thank you.
Yeah. And obviously it means, you know, it refers to the inner beauty and the gift that bishops are to the church. You probably, because I'm sure it's taken you both by surprise, haven't really had a lot of time to think about the theology of being a bishop and the importance of a bishop in the life of the church. As Catholics, we truly do gather around our bishops. We are a church here because we have a bishop. It's the church. It's through the bishop that the life of the church emanates. Does that kind of blow you away?
You know, Cardinal George said to me when I spoke with him, there's no school for bishops.
That's a good point, yeah.
And he says, you learn as you go, as the people request your needs. And I guess that's the way it's going to be because we really never thought of this. So I think one thing is that, you know, as my mother would say, if it is God's will, then let it be.
You know, it's very interesting. When we were in the seminary with Alberto and with Andrew and myself in different years, is that you're preparing 4 years, 8 years, 12 years for the ordination to the priesthood. And yet, I think for all of us, that the day we were ordained, in some ways we had no idea what we were getting ourselves into. You have this image of what priesthood could be, should be, will be. But then once you're ordained as a servant of God and going to different parishes, it's not what you thought. So for my own priesthood, it's been greater than I ever thought it would be. Because when you're in a seminary, it's a world of books and prayers and classmates and studies and doing some parish work. But all of a sudden, you are thrust from the being a pastor, and as Cardinal George says, there is no school for being a bishop, that it's truly overwhelming. You know, maybe just for a moment, Father Andrew, you have the distinct, unique position. You were ordained a priest in Poland. You were ordained a deacon in 1978 by the late Pope John Paul II,
right,
the last class ordained deacons by him. So, you know, and with Father Alberto, ordained at Mundelein Seminary, University of St. Mary the Lake Seminary, in 1997 here in the Archdiocese of Chicago. But just maybe for just a moment, Andrew, give us your background. Born in Poland, and take it from there.
Oh, that's the whole array of issues here, because I experienced Poland under the grips of communism. My education in Poland in secular schools, and then parallelly to it in religious classes that our priests were giving us. So I had a privilege of meeting wonderful priests who sacrificed their lives, not only from the religious perspective, but also the secular. They were visible leaders of the community and social aspects of our lives. So I lived through that. And then I went to the seminary, and we had a privilege of meeting our archbishop then, Cardinal Wojtyla, who was exceptional. We know that now, Blessed Pope John Paul the Great, as I want to call him, and I hope that everyone else, by the way, calls him that way. But he made an impact on me tremendously. I wanted to be like him. And, you know, in some way, we resemble our parents when we get older. There is a certain time that we don't want to, but then at certain time we start being our parents. I hope that I will be in so many ways, because it stored in me the way John Paul II was a bishop who was always available to the people. We complained that he was late. He never was on time. And he was Polish. So he never was on time, but he was never on time because there was always someone stopping him on the way. So,
and he would give that person time.
Right. And he would listen to you. You knew that he was listening to you. And then he met with each seminarian twice a year, once in the seminary one-on-one, and then he invited us to our to his residence. So by the time he ordained us, he knew us by name, he knew our families. So when I came to the United States, he always asked about my mother, because my mother left Poland in 73. That's the whole other issue. So that's the example. I came here and I met also wonderful priests who made a great impact on me. Father Grembla, late Father Grembla, may God rest his soul. Wonderful priest. I was privileged to be an associate to him, and I succeeded him later. And then
that was at St. Pancratius.
Pancratius, right. Bishop Abramovich. Oh, what a wonderful man and a bishop and a caring person. So I could, you know, be here forever. So, but I don't want
we're gonna
to
call a time.
We're
going to
continue our conversation with these two good men who've been designated by the Holy Father as bishop-elects for the Archdiocese of Chicago. And we'll do that after these brief messages. Please don't go away.
Join the movement to run in the 2011 Bank of America Chicago Marathon on Sunday, October 9th as a pledge runner for Team Catholic Charities. The race is sold out, but we have post-close entries for you or someone you know. To join or sponsor the Catholic Charities Marathon team or to join the committee, call 312-655-7912. That's 312-655-7912. Visit us at catholiccharities.net/Chicago Marathon and we'll see you at the finish line.
Are you ready for the upcoming changes in the words of the Mass? The revision of the Roman Missal brings innovations that will affect us all. Whether you are a teacher, catechist, priest, or parishioner, excellent resources are available to help you understand these changes in the words of the liturgy. For more information about how you can prepare yourself and your assembly, call Liturgy Training Publications at 800-933-1800 or visit www.revisedromanmissal.org.
Real men answer the call to the priesthood. Is God calling you?
You know, I'm honored to be a priest for the Archdiocese of Chicago. I think it's great.
There's a desire to want to give back and to help and to serve those who are especially in need.
I think there's a wonderful opportunity for us to bring good news to a world that's very much in need.
When I experience through my ministry someone being brought closer to the Lord, it's an exciting, thrilling moment.
If you feel God's call to a priestly vocation, contact us at 312-751-8298 or visit our website at chicagopriest.com. John Paul II once said, "Do not be afraid. Open your heart to Christ. The deepest joy there is in life is the joy that comes from God. Jesus is the hope of the world. The people are calling. The world is calling. God is calling. Answer the call to the priesthood."
Welcome back to Catholic Community Faith and Relevant Radio, 9:50 a.m. The time is exactly 9:13 on this beautiful Friday morning in Chicago. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz along with Grazia Marcheschi. Please know that we are live today on Friday, June 17th, but this program will be played back on Monday, June 20th, because we have such outstanding guests today. Today we'll get two airings on Friday and again played back on Monday. We are taking phone calls on this Friday at 312-255-8408. And our guest, Father Andrew Vipik and Father Alberto Rojas, the two new bishop-elects for the Archdiocese of Chicago as auxiliaries. And they still have this glow about them and a look of being overwhelmed. Father Alberto, we listened to Father Vipik talk about his background, his roots in Poland. Give us your background from Mexico.
I was born in Aguascalientes. This is one of the very smallest states in Mexico, right in the middle of the country. Everything is tiny there. Went to the seminary there, the diocesan seminary, for like 10 or 11 years. So I entered the seminary when I was probably 14. And after about 10 years or so, I thought I needed some time out just to see what, you know, working or something was like. And some of my brothers and sisters always said that, you know, you'd probably be better off if you leave for a little bit and then maybe come back. And I took that seriously, and I did. I went out for like a couple of years. And when I came back, I came back here. The rector at the seminary in Aguascalientes had made me write a letter that I was coming back there, maybe after 2 years or so. And I wasn't sure how long I needed to really. It wasn't really that I didn't, wasn't sure that I wanted to be a priest. I always knew I wanted it. But I thought I just wanted to experience something different and rest from books and, you know, this routine of a seminary life. But then I came back, and when I came back, I heard of Casa Jesus in Chicago. And that was how I came to the United States, through the program of Casa Jesus, which has been unbelievable. Ever since I came to Casa Jesus, everything went to like kind of, you know, like roller coaster, but flawless. You know, it goes all the way to the seminary and ordination, and until now.
Did you already speak English when you came?
No.
You didn't?
No, I went to the UIC for a special program while in Casa Jesus.
All right, so how did you get the courage to leave Mexico, come to the United States where you didn't know the language, and, you know, embrace the possibility of becoming a priest of this archdiocese?
It was a little crazy because in talking to a seminarian who already knew, and he had been here before, he's a priest now in L.A., actually. And he told me that the numbers of Hispanics in the United States and also in Chicago being that far north. And so when they spoke about Casa Jesus, and I said, well, then let me call just to see what that is about. And I always wanted to learn something different. I like cultures. I love languages, even though I only speak English and Spanish. But I always wanted to learn English. There was always something that was in my mind. And, you know, the music in Mexico, most people listen, is English, even though they may not even understand it. But it's such an influence that we have from the United States.
What I find very fascinating with both of you is that when I was ordained in 1979, in fact, I'm actually a classmate with Father Andrew.
Pleasure.
But ordained in Poland on April 29th, 1979. I was ordained at Mundelein Seminary on May 9th with my classmates. So we're actually of the same year, ordained 32 years, is every one of my classmates was born in the United States. And but here we have a case of Father Andrew and Father Alberto in some ways being missionary and coming to the United States from Mexico, from Poland, which is happening more and more in the Archdiocese of Chicago today. And so it's wonderful to be able to have that Polish language, that Hispanic language to serve the needs of the people. Question I have to ask before we go to our next break, and the segments are going fast. Andrew, when did you receive the phone call that you were a new auxiliary? Did that come to you like Sunday evening or Saturday?
Actually, it was on Friday.
From Cardinal Francis George?
Right. So I don't know how, because there is a certain things that we can we talk about these things?
Well, I mean, I don't mean to get confidential, yeah, but somehow. So, but now, when he's on the phone, when the phone call was for you from Cardinal Francis George, what went through your mind?
Actually, it was a little different because I received a phone call from the papal nuncio before I received a phone call from Cardinal George. So, first I thought maybe someone is kind of a pulling joke on me. And so I wasn't sure. But Monsignor Lenthume, he introduced himself. I never heard of him before. So I wasn't convinced that it was it. So he told me that he would call Cardinal George. So I waited. And I asked him, so I waited. And I called Cardinal George, and I kind of tested the water, asking him, you know, I had a strange phone call.
Is this a prank?
Right. And the Cardinal George says, was it Monsignor Lenthume? I said, yes. Oh, that's the legitimate. So, and then we had a talk.
Well, we're gonna go to a break, and then we're going to come back and ask Father Alberto about how he received the call. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz, along with Grazia Marcheschi, on Catholic Community Faith and Relevant Radio 950. The time is 9:19. But to know that the program today, Friday, is live, This will be played back on Monday, June 20th. It'll be a tape broadcast then. Our phone number, 312-255-8408. Stay with us. We'll be back after a break, and do not touch that dial.
The Catholic New World has been your faith resource for well over a century. Archbishop Patrick Feehan recognized the need for a strong Catholic voice in 1892 and launched Chicago's first Catholic newspaper. Bishop Feehan named our Catholic newspaper using a theme from the Columbian Exposition, the New World that gave people hope for a brighter future. Today, the Catholic New World is better than ever. It's a rich and diverse resource for Chicagoland Catholics with stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Cardinal Francis George and our team of columnists offer compelling insights on spirituality, catechesis, and evangelization. Visit our website at catholicnewworld.com. View our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and while you're there, subscribe to the Catholic New World or call 312-534-7777. Our look has changed, but we are still your faith resource. Subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
Blessed Pope John Paul II's Theology of the Body is changing lives around the world. It brings clarity to many of the tough questions regarding our sexuality and God's plan for love and life. Please join the Respect Life Office and the Office for Catholic Schools for the Theology of the Body for Teens curriculum training. This two-day training is perfect for teachers, youth ministers, catechists, and anyone who wants to bring Theology of the Body to teenagers. The Theology of the Body for Teens High School Edition training will take place on Friday evening, August 12th. The training for the new middle school edition will take place Saturday, August 13th, and will include lunch and materials. Both trainings will take place at Queen of the Rosary Parish in Elk Grove Village. For more information or to register, please contact the Respect Life Office at 312-534-5355 or check out their website at respectlifechicago.org.
It's Friday morning in Chicago, going on 9:23 a.m. You're listening to Catholic Radio on AM 950. I'm Graziano Marcheschi, co-hosting with our anchor, Father Greg Sackowitz. And we have the privilege this morning of speaking to the two good men chosen by the Holy Father to become the new auxiliary bishops of the Archdiocese of Chicago, Father Andrew Vipik and Father Alberto Rojas. Father Alberto, tell us, how did you get the call?
This is amazing. When I had the call and I heard this voice, you know, with a heavier accent than mine, I'm like, you probably have the wrong number. Are you sure you're calling to the right country and parish and everything, you know, city? And he said, when he started telling my story, you know, I know who you are. And then he went on and on. And I said, well, that sounds like me. And so then I was like, no way. This has to be something else. And I think he had the sense that I said no. But I wasn't sure what to say. You know, I was just like, what is this going on? So then he says, I'll give you a couple of days to respond. I hope you say yes. I said, well, a couple of days. And he said, you cannot talk to anybody. I said, well, what good is that to have 2 days to talk to anybody?
I can't talk to anybody.
I cannot talk to anybody. But the cardinal, he says, the cardinal. Okay, so like an hour later, the cardinal calls me. And he says, Alberto, I hope you're not going to say no. I said, oh, Cardinal, I cannot talk to anybody. Can we talk? You're the only one I can talk to. And so he gave me an appointment the next day in the morning, and I went there. And he gave me a long story, you know, his own story. Beautiful, beautiful. Cardinal has a beautiful story of how he was moved from one place to another. Because I was almost complaining, like, you know, I have been moved to one place to another. I have these dreams, and I never get to fulfill them because you're moving me from one place to another. I just came to the parish. It's only a year. I have plans for the people, and it's just beginning to feel the sense of joy of the parish when, now you're going to go to another place. It's been like that.
You know, that's a good sign that you're the right man for the job.
Thank you.
You know, really. If you were looking for it, you wouldn't be the right guy.
Oh,
thanks. You want to be there because you love your people.
There's a wonderful line from a John Lennon song, which would be so appropriate, and the line goes like this. Life is what happened while I was making other plans.
Wonderful, yeah.
Life is what happened while I was making other plans. And so all of a sudden you're living your priesthood, serving as with people of God as pastors, and all of a sudden that phone call comes, and it's like, oh, my God. And you're literally just so taken aback. And we said during the break, before the show started, since Monday when it became public, the both of you, your life has been an absolute whirlwind of phone calls, of emails, of radio and television interviews and the press. And this is just the very, very start of it. So the last couple of days, Alberto and Andrew, what has been part of your prayer the last few days? Because a week ago today, you were pastors. And all of a sudden, 1 week later, you're the new auxiliary bishops in the Archdiocese. So what's been part of your prayer the last few days, Alberto? Oh, my God, help me.
Yes, every day. I keep this phrase of my mother, you know, if it is God's will, let it be. That's what I've been saying. And another thing that has been in my mind ever since I spoke to the Cardinal is it's not about me. It's not about me. I decided to give my life in serving the Church of Christ. And so if this is the way he's calling me to do it, well, then let's do it.
That's outstanding. Andrew?
And I second. I just mentioned that Alberto is my brother, and I think we think alike because that's the same sentiment that I share with him. First, I surrendered my life when I was ordained a priest, and I remember very vividly the place where I prostrated when I laid in the cathedral. And there is a good friend of mine, a priest, Father Bogus, whom we, kind of about the last moment before the ordination, we encouraged each other, and I told him, remember, make a intention that everything that we will do, that we will do for the glory of God and the best we can. And he said the same thing to me. So when I was called to be the new auxiliary bishop of Chicago. And the day I went to church and I did the same thing. I prostrated before the tabernacle and I told the Lord, here I am. Do whatever you need. I don't have my own will. This is your will. I put aside all everything. And I had my life planned because I'm kind of older than this younger brother of mine here. So I'm 56 now. So I had my life already planned. I'm very satisfied as a priest. I'm very happy as a pastor. And I knew that, you know, everything that I will do is coming to close. And here I am called and I need to say, wow, you know, my life is planned for me. I don't plan. So, Lord, you plan, and I know that I will be fine because that's your plan. And I hope that I will discover day by day what your plan is, and I will serve my people as a pastor. I hope that it will be not much difference just as a pastor to be still a pastor.
Well, I think it's going to be a lot different, Andrew.
And I hope.
In a good way, yeah. In a good way.
It's really inspiring to hear the humility that each of you have. Father Alberto, when you said it's not about you, that's very much, that's priesthood and episcopacy in the style of Francis Cardinal George.
It's
that's
very interesting.
One of his catchphrases.
Alberto, when you said that, because I've given a talk to the seminarians at Mundelein Seminary, and the first thing I said to the seminarians was, it's not about you.
Yeah.
I said, it's not about you. It's serving the people of God. And to hear you say that is wonderful. And also from both of you, that sense of trust and surrender.
Yeah.
Trust and surrender, put in the hands of God, and somehow things will work out.
And I was thinking as you were telling your stories that the papal nuncio must really get a kick out of making those phone calls out of the blue and to hear the reaction of the poor guy at the other end of the line.
Andrew almost hung up on. We're going to go to a break here on Catholic Community Faith. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz along with Grazia Marcheschi. We are live today on Friday, June 17th. This program will be played back on Monday, June 20th. We are taking phone calls on this Friday, 312-255-8408. We are delighted to have and privileged with us the two bishop-elects for the Archdiocese of Chicago, Father Andrew Vipik and Father Alberto Rojas. They are smiling and they look happy. And God bless them. We're back after a break. Do not touch that dial.
Each night, thousands of families face homelessness in Chicago. Those families aren't just statistics. They're your neighbors, your friends. They could even be part of your own family.
I had lost my job, so I wasn't working, and I had run out of all my savings, so I ended up losing my apartment. And I went to stay with my sister, but she's got this small little itty-bitty condo, so we were all sleeping on the floor. So I started calling around for the housings and everything, and they told me to call Catholic Charities, and it just happened when I got through, Joanne answered the phone, and she goes, "You know, you got me just at the right time. We're actually doing interviews right now. You want to come in?" And gave me the whole rundown of everything and how the program works and everything. She goes, "Is this something you can do?" And I looked at her and says, "You're offering me a roof over my head, something more than I've got right now, and I'm willing to do anything to keep that roof over my head."
Catholic Charities of Chicago is there to provide a helping hand to the homeless. Find out how to help us help the most needy. Visit CatholicCharities.net.
Catholic teens and young adults are preparing for World Youth Day 2011 in Madrid, Spain. The Archdiocese is sponsoring an exciting and inspirational 9-day trip for this coming August.
World Youth Day is a week-long spiritual journey during which teens and young adults from around the world unite to share their faith.
The Archdiocese organized trip to Madrid will include daily mass, catechesis, festivals, walking tours, and all the events scheduled with the Holy Father Pope Benedict the 16th.
That includes a welcoming ceremony, an evening candlelight vigil, and the closing mass. And for young people not going to Madrid, there's a wonderful World Youth Day celebration planned at Our Lady of Guadalupe Shrine in Des Plaines.
The regional event will bring together young Catholics from Illinois, Indiana, and Wisconsin. There will even be a giant TV hookup so you can pray along with the Pope during the closing mass in Madrid.
Go to the Archdiocese website, www.archchicago.org, and click on World Youth Day. You'll find information regarding travel to Madrid, our local festivities, and a link to the official World Youth Day website.
Plan now. Be part of this inspirational and memorable celebration of our faith.
World Youth Day 2011.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 a.m. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
Welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio, 950 a.m. The time is exactly 9:33 on this Friday morning in Chicago. Father Greg Sack is along with Graziano Marcheschi, and we are honored to have with us this morning Bishop-elects Father Alberto Rojas, Father Andrew Vipik. But before we go back to our honored guest this morning, we have with us, and music means one thing, Joyce DeRiga, the Editor-in-Chief of the Catholic New World of the Archdiocese of Chicago. Good morning, Joyce. How are you?
Good morning. Well, thanks.
We have with us, of course, two priests, bishop-elects, who will be part of the Catholic New World in an upcoming issue. So what is the latest happening in the Catholic New World?
Most of it is the two gentlemen you have on your radio show. We did a center spread on the press conference and, you know, incorporating the Cardinal's comments and different things about the gentlemen. We're planning a supplement issue that'll go to press before the ordination, whenever we find out when the ordination will be, that'll have more in-depth. So Gentlemen Prepare will be calling you for interviews and background information stuff, and really what goes into being a bishop and their coat of arms when they come out with that and different things like that. But also in this issue, we have a couple pieces about the, you may be familiar with, there are some Catholic Charities agencies in Illinois suing the state over the same-sex union legislation, and find out really what their rights are for foster care and adoption services under this legislation. There's a piece from Bishop Aprocki in Springfield explaining why there's three dioceses that are suing the state right now, and the Cardinal talks about it in his column as well. He also gets, the Cardinal gets into ordination of women and why the Church reserves ordination to the priesthood for men only. And we've got also some other summer stuff. We have the pastor out of St. Joseph in Round Lake who, to pay off parish debt, is walking to Wisconsin, taking pledges and stuff to try and pay down some debt. We had a prayer service for some inner-city Catholic school students to keep them safe in the summertime. So we've got a lot of stuff in this issue.
Hey, Joyce, I spotted you at the dedication of the Healing Garden. Didn't get to say hello, but you going to have something about that in the paper?
Oh, thank you. Thanks for reminding me. Yes, we have a big story with some really nice photos about the Healing Garden. You know, it's a unique opportunity for the Archdiocese to have a permanent sort of witness to the healing of victims, survivors of clergy sex abuse.
I was at that dedication last week. It was absolutely marvelous and very, very well done. So it sounds, Joyce, that this new issue, which certainly features Father Vipic and Father Rojas.
Wait, I want to know, are their pictures going to be suitable for framing?
Well, it was a press conference. They're not so exciting, but we will hopefully get them in action in the next few weeks.
When they're in their finery. You know, once they've purchased their new vestments.
Their new vestments. So it sounds like a wonderful upcoming issue. If people want to subscribe to the Catholic New World, give us a phone number they can place an order, Joyce.
They can call me at 312-534-7577, or you can do it online. We can take orders that way, too.
By going to www.archchicago.com. Okay, CatholicNewWorld.com. So, yes. Joyce DeRieger, the editor of the Catholic New World for the Archdiocese of Chicago, the paper, want to say thank you for the great work you are doing. Have a blessed weekend, and we'll talk to you again in a couple of weeks, Joyce.
Okay, take care. Bye.
Bye-bye now.
All the news that's fit to watch. Well, we're still on. Well, that's good to know. You're still listening. Even though we didn't realize it, to Catholic Radio on AM 950, and we're going to continue our conversation.
Nice going, Gratz.
Hey, you're the boss. You know, I wait for my cues. We're very happy to be able to continue our conversation with Father Alberto and Father Andrew, who will be our new auxiliary bishops for the Archdiocese. It's a big responsibility, obviously. You're going to be working very, very hard. We've been teasing you about that. But it's also a grace in the life of the church, of this local church, and in your own life. It probably will continue to dawn on you as the days go by. I'm sure it's a little overwhelming right now. When you think about being a bishop, I'm sure you didn't, you know, fantasize about this. You know, what would I do if I were ever a bishop? But now that you know that you've been called to this ministry, how do you see that playing out? You know, what kinds of things do you think you'll be able to do now that you wouldn't have been able to do before? In what ways do you think you might be able to touch people's lives that you wouldn't have been able to before?
If that's my line, I indeed strongly believe that it's a grace. You know, when I was younger, I didn't understand that living by faith, not by grace, or grace, not faith. Now I'm a little older than my brother, Bishop Alberto. I understand now that our nature is limited. And we have many things planned for ourselves. We have plans, we have designs for our lives. And then we come to the point that these designs are not sufficient. And then we enter into that whole realm of grace, that the Lord knows where we are going. I'm reminded about Peter. There is a beautiful Polish book, Quo Vadis. Where are you going? The Lord is asking Peter when Peter leaves city of Rome, and the Lord appears to him and says, where are you going? Quo Vadis? And Peter thinks, and he goes back to Rome, and he does all his wonderful ministry, and he's crucified. I think, I don't want to be crucified, but if that's the will of the Lord, I'm ready. Mm-hmm. I don't have my own private life anymore. I didn't have, in certain way, I still have some privacy, but now I know I will not have privacy. That I know already. But I think I would like to continue to be a pastor. Because that I know how to be, because I'm a pastor for 20 years. And a pastor is the one who leads and feeds, protects and corrects on occasion. So I, as a bishop, I hope I will be a pastor to all the people, but especially the priests. Everything that the Lord needs and the church needs and the society needs is there. Only we need to discern, we need to find, we need to discover and enjoy what the Lord already gave us. So I'm not going to invent anything as a bishop. It's there. And I hope that through prayer, through working with the priests, I will just be that point man. And I will listen. I will first listen and foremost, because sometimes people want to tell you stories. People want to give you the time so they know that someone listens to them. There's that much, too many
noises. And
I
think, Andrew, that's the key, to listen to the people, to serve the people, and to be there for them, as you were as a pastor at St. Francis Borgia and before that. How about for you, Alberto? Same question.
I've always thought, since I was ordained, who am I without God's grace? You know, who am I without Christ's presence in our lives? This is what we only, you know, the only thing we got. And so when people come to us, and I keep on saying that, you know, it's not about me, which is kind of good, because it is really not about me. And I just, you know, collaborate with that. And it's also good to think you're not alone. You know, the cardinal said that to me when I spoke with him. You're not by yourself. And not only not alone thinking of myself, but with the bishops and himself, but also Christ's grace. That's what encourages me to, you know, move on and trust. Especially if I've been, you know, dedicated, trying to be faithful. I don't know how successful I've been, but I've tried to be faithful for this last 14 years as priest. So I trust that, you know, the same way, the grace is going to accompany me for those years coming, which are going to be more challenging, but feel that I'm not by myself.
Yeah. You know, it strikes me that a major part of your ministry is not just to the people of the Archdiocese, but also to the priests of the Archdiocese. A major part of your work will be in dealing directly with the other pastors within your vicariate, won't it?
Right, yeah. And that's the... But I know I have been in the Archdiocese of Chicago for the last 28 years, and I met tremendous force of love among the priests and brotherhood, and it's encouraging. Sometimes we are so busy in our daily lives that we don't really think about the presbyterate and the connections that we have. So these times, I hope that I will spend more time to kind of being a bridge between the priests, calling them and saying, "Oh, brother, come here, leave these things, just come here and let's talk, let's be together." So I hope as a bishop I will be that bridge between the priests, because they are hard-working, loving, good people, valiant
people. You know, I have to admit, Andrew, that we are part of a great presbyterate here in the Archdiocese of Chicago. I'm very honored to be part of that brotherhood of priests who serve the people of God so well. We need to bring this segment to a close. Want to thank, in a very special way, been very privileged this last 43 minutes to have with us as two of our guests this morning, two bishop-elects for the Archdiocese of Chicago, new auxiliaries, Father Andrew Vipik, Father Alberto Rojas, and know that our prayers are with you both. I'm so delighted and honored to be a brother priest with you.
Thank you.
And now that you'll be serving as auxiliaries, the people of God in the Archdiocese of Chicago. Our phone number, 312-255-8408. Also let our listeners know that we are live today on Friday, June 17th. We are played back on Monday, June 20th. We are taking phone calls today. So, Father Alberto and Father Andrew, God bless you.
Can we let them sign off in Polish and Spanish?
Yeah, how about giving us a blessing in Polish and Spanish simultaneously?
Niech Pan Bóg błogosławi. Ojca i Syna i Ducha Świętego. Amen.
Sintamos su luz y su presencia entre nosotros. En el nombre del Padre, del Hijo, del Espíritu Santo. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We'll be back right after a break on Relevant Radio, 9:50 a.m. Do not touch that dial.
Imagine spending a week in a beautiful lakeside setting where you can focus, reflect, pray, and learn more about the treasures of the Bible. This wonderful opportunity is available for all those who sign up for the annual Summer Scripture Seminar at the University of St. Mary of the Lake Mundelein Seminary. Scholars from across the United States will help you explore the life-giving role the Bible plays in the liturgical life of the Church. This theme is timely as we await the implementation of the third edition of the Roman Missal in November. As always, Summer Scripture is guided by Vatican II's vision of Scripture as the soul of theology. The Summer Scripture Seminar will be held Sunday through Friday, June 19th to the 24th. Stay for the week or sign up for specific lectures. For details, call 847-837-4558 or go to www.summerscripture.org. The Summer Scripture Seminar offers spiritual renewal and inspiration with people who share your passion for the Word of the Lord. It's a great way to start the summer.
You're invited to watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Here's host Graziano Marcheschi.
We'll take you to Holy Name Cathedral for the ordination ceremony of 10 new priests. We'll show you highlights from Rome of the beatification of Pope John Paul II. And we'll talk to Cardinal Francis George about the significant issues that are covered in his latest book, God in Action.
For several interesting stories about the Archdiocese, please watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Radio TV for the time and cable channel in your area. That's www.archchicago.org. The Church, the Cardinal, and You, compelling television about your Archdiocese.
Welcome back to Catholic Community Faith on Relevant Radio, 9:50 a.m. The time is 9:47 on this beautiful Friday morning in Chicago. But to let all our listeners know, we are live today on Friday, and this program will be played back, aired again on Monday, June 20th. It'll be taped. That was a great interview, Gratz, with the two bishop-elects, Father
really
Rojas and Father Vipek.
Truly good men.
Good men.
Good priests.
And they'll serve the Archdiocese of Chicago well in their new role as auxiliary bishops.
And I think they'll inspire young men to consider priesthood because they both seem to really love their priesthood.
A real sense of humility.
Yeah.
And about it's not about them. It's serving the people of God in a new capacity. We have with us by phone a good friend of mine, Dr. Jack Lynch, who is the coordinator, part of a team for the upcoming Father Robert McLaughlin Faith Foundation golf outing and dinner on Monday, June 27th at the Park Ridge Country Club. Jack, good morning. Welcome to Catholic Community Faith.
Good morning, Father Greg. Nice to be with you this morning. Thanks for having me on.
It's been back again by popular demand. Jack, Father Bob McLaughlin, who died on January 24th, 2005, a beloved priest of the Archdiocese of Chicago, died suddenly on a golf course. But you and a group of people have kept his legacy alive. Tell us about the history of the Faith Foundation, the dinner, the why and the wherefore about it.
Well, as Father Greg pointed out, Bob McLaughlin was very concerned for the church's future, its priests, and especially his young people. He was very enthusiastic, and obviously when he died, a group of us that had, I was a classmate of his at Quigley.
You know, Jack, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
You and Red were classmates at Quigley.
Right.
Wow.
And we thought we would do something, and I thought that Father Bob would be mad if we went in some type of a funk. So we decided to start this Faith Foundation to continue his vision and spirit. And our goals were, our first thing was to do everything possible to continue and put into action his message, his vision, and spirit. And secondly, that we would be 100% accountable for the distribution of funds from the Faith Foundation. The message of the Faith Foundation is annually that we grant monetary awards to project or programs within the Archdiocese of Chicago that foster and inspire the Catholic faith journey of teens and young people. In particular, the foundation seeks to ignite creative and innovative approaches to the Faith Foundation. This is, as Father Greg mentioned, we are in our seventh annual fundraiser. And in the past 6 years so far, we have given out a total of 108 grants, totaling over $415,000.
That's amazing, Jack.
Yeah. And people wonder, you know, and a good point to mention is that there are no paid individuals working on behalf of the Faith Foundation. And people would say, well, how do you do something like that? Well, we've been very fortunate that we are truly blessed to have so many talented, dedicated, and selfless people like Father Greg on our committee. And that is what we are trying to do and trying to put this in. Interestingly enough, this year we had over 30 applications for grants, and we are somewhat limited by the amount of funds that we can give out, and we have 23 new grants that we are giving out this year.
Which will total how much money, Jack?
Well, altogether, including this year, it'll be over $415,000.
I mean, that is amazing.
Yeah.
Tell us the kind of projects that you fund.
Well, some of the things, you know, what people can do, I'll give you an example of a couple of them. One grant was given to Peace Builders Initiative at Catholic Theological Union. This grant helps to provide training for young people to become active leaders in peacemaking, reconciliation, and conflict resolution in their home, their schools, and their communities.
Working primarily with high school kids.
Well, we're working with a couple different things. We're working with
I mean that particular project, the
yes.
Peace Builders. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'll give you an example, this one young man, it was from the northwest suburbs, is Peter Ninich, and he is a senior in high school, and Peter said that his training and experience at Peace Builders changed his perspective on life. He said that after tutoring kids in the back of the yards in the Austin neighborhoods in Chicago, he said he was more aware of the struggles that children encounter on a daily life.
Powerful.
And he said that has dramatically changed his approach to life.
What other kinds of projects?
Well, we also, too, we do a college ministry program. And at St. James Parish, and also down at an outreach program from Old St. Pat's. And then another program that we got involved in last year is Caris Ministry. And they started a new program called Contemplative Leaders in Action. And the program brings together a cohort of young adults from business to professions, civil society, and nonprofit organizations for spiritual formation and leadership development. And we have seen that they have really taken this to a different level. You know, what people can do, they can go to our website, which is www.McLaughlinFaithFoundation.org.
Give that one more time, Jack.
www.McLaughlinFaithFoundation.org. And we're on the website there, and you can also see what we do as far as the grants, where we touch many other diverse programs. And spiritual retreats, leadership things, like last year we gave out 10 different grants to 10 different teen groups. Then we had the college ministry, and now with this Contemplative Leaders, it's young adults working out in business.
And McLaughlin will be spelled M-C, capital L-A-U-G-H-L-I-N.
Is somewhat of a novice in computers in that. I think there's no capital letters. It's M-C, L-A-U-G-H-L-I-N. FAITHFOUNDATION.org.
What I find so fascinating, Jack, is that somehow keeping the legacy of Bob McLaughlin alive through these great works, but I find that the work that I've shared with on the committee, and I've only been to a few of the meetings compared to everybody else, the spirit in that room is phenomenal. The day of the event on June 27th, that Park Ridge Country Club in past years has been packed. And somehow to tell the stories and the legacy does continue on.
Yes.
Is this your main means of funding the foundation?
This is our number one fundraiser that we have for throughout the year. One of the things that we do is in the last 2 years, and this will be our third year, we create a video, and it shows what the Faith Foundation is doing. On the Faith website right now, they can get the video from last year. It gives us a little bit of an insight into three or four of the grants that we highlight. This year we have a new video that hopefully I'd say by the middle of July, will be on the website, giving some people an idea about, you know, where their money is going. That's what we've tried to do. One of our goals is to be 100% accountable, to let people know where their money is going. And that is tied into the idea that we don't have any paid staff members.
Who is being honored this year?
John and Pat Lucas. John is director of Amati House, and he is a deacon, and his wife also contributes to different projects, and she also has a sister who is a nun, who's down in south in Mexico, and at Cuernavaca Center for Intercultural Dialogue and Development, and her sister is a Dominican nun, and who founded the center in 1977. And what Pat does, and over the years, it's served anywhere from 500 groups to 10,000 students. Pat handles all the bookkeeping, business aspect for his sister. It's just another great team working together, and they have four children and I think maybe 10 grandchildren.
Do you get any corporate funding?
No, we're trying for that. We're trying for that. We haven't up to this point. We haven't.
Hey, I want to ask you a quick question and then ask you to tell a story. This question is for both of you, Greg and Jack. Do you remember any of the quotes written in your high school yearbook that when people sign your book?
No.
No.
I remember one.
Okay, which
from
one?
My high school yearbook. And it's the one that Father Red McLaughlin wrote in my book.
What did he say?
I have never forgotten it. It touched me, and it stayed with me. I couldn't tell you anybody else who signed the book. I couldn't tell you anything else anybody else ever said. But I've always remembered it was a quote from the musical Camelot, where at the end the king says to this young boy, we're all just drops in the ocean of life. Then he looks right the boy right in the eye and says, but some drops sparkle. And Red wrote in my book, some drops sparkle, Gratz, keep sparkling. It meant so much to me. I was just a kid. It was his very first work after he was ordained. You know, he came to teach at the seminary, and he remained a great mentor and a great inspiration.
So ironically, that you were the class of 60.
I graduated in 68.
68 from then called Quigley North.
That's right.
Which is the building we actually are doing the radio program today from. And we are actually sitting, which would have been the middle of the gymnasium of old Quigley North, which is now the pastoral center for the Archdiocese. And so you remember exactly what Father McLaughlin wrote in your yearbook.
Absolutely.
And that's going back 43 years ago, Gratz.
Oh, you don't have to do the math, Greg.
Wow. I love numbers. And just the last minute, Jack, and this has been outstanding.
Wait, I was going to ask him. Tell us the real brief story about Father Red's death on that golf course. It's just too powerful to pass up.
Oh, interesting thing is that Bob had spent, as he usually did every weekend, you know, work until the nth hour, and then on Sunday night he flew down to Florida to spend some time, 3 or 4 days, to get himself refueled. And on Saturday, or on Monday, they went out to play golf. And on about the 11th hole, he had a little indigestion, and the people that were playing with him, is there were three people, said that, are you okay? He said, yeah, fine. So they got to the 15th hole, they all teed off, and they went out to the 15th hole, and he got out of the cart to hit his second shot, and he went down. And one of our friends there, Dennis Mudd, was there, and he's also a deacon, and he went over and tried to revive him, and he got up, and he wanted to get up, and Dennis tried to tell him to sit down, and then Bob just kind of looked up, and he looked over, and he said to him, what's that angel doing over there?
Yeah.
And it was the story of the angel.
And with that, he died. And, you know, we need to bring this program to a close. It was a powerful line. I was great friends with Father McLaughlin. Give us a phone number where people could learn more about the Faith Foundation to make reservations, Jack.
They can go on our website, or they can call it 847-825-1552.
I want to thank in a very special way Dr. Jack Lynch, who is kind of quarterbacking with a team. The Father McLaughlin Faith Foundation Golf Outing Dinner Event on Monday evening, June 27th at the Park Ridge Country Club. I want to thank you, Jack, for being present. Thank you to co-host Grazia Marcheschi, our producer, Jim Dish, engineer, Brian Hockey Hitman Brock. To our listeners, God bless. Program is live today, played back on Monday, June 20th. Have a wonderful weekend.